But here's the word of the Lord from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. For my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. So let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this evening, and we are so thankful for your word. We are so thankful that it is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that we may be fully equipped for every good deed. And we pray this evening that the words I say would be your words, that we would hear you speak to us, that if there's anything that I would say that it is not from you, that it wouldn't come out, but that we would hear you. I thank you and praise you for how you've been preparing our hearts and our minds throughout this week to hear from you. And I pray that you would remove any of the obstacles which might hinder our ability to hear your voice. We love you, Lord. Amen. And so from Psalm 13, what I want to focus on, as we said before we read it, we're going to look at David's prayer and we're going to say, well, what did David do? How does this prayer give him hope, potentially? Is there anything in the prayer itself that may have led to David's change in attitude in verses 5 and 6? Was it not just external, leaving us feeling hopeless maybe in our own situations? And so that's where we'll look at, and we'll see how God hears his people even when he seems distant, and the hope that that gives to David. The thing that I think is really fascinating, and what we will I think, focus on mainly, is in the first four verses, David repeats things to God that God has told his people about himself and who he is. That David's questions to God aren't necessarily just what he's feeling, but they're what he's feeling, but they carry extra weight with them. So we start through, and we get, how long, O Lord? We notice that it's the covenant name of God, so David is using his relationship with God, and God saying, I will be your God, you will be my people, the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. And for a lot of us, that's a question that we've probably asked. How long do I have to go through this? That this is something that's familiar to us. How long do I have to deal with this illness? How long do I have to deal with these family issues where we're not speaking to each other? How long do I have to deal with this problem at work, or whatever the challenges we may face are? How long, O Lord? You say you know all things. You say that you are always working things out for my good. Well, how long do I have to wait for you to act? How long do I have to wait to see the good that you promise? And so David, in this moment of frustration, then turns to God and he says, will you forget me forever? First, what a terrible feeling that is for David, or maybe for any of us who might be feeling like God has forgotten us, that he doesn't know what we're going through, he doesn't know where we're at, he's seemingly moved on, maybe to people who are more exciting or people who are less difficult, or whatever the situation may be. How awful the situation must be for David to feel like God forgot him. The man after God's own heart feeling like God has moved beyond him and left him behind. And what's interesting is one of the things that we get throughout Scripture, and we can just go leading up to David, is we get this phrase, God remembered, or the Lord remembered. We go to Noah in the ark, and you know, it's raining and they're stuck in an ark with all these animals and they're floating around. And then it says, and God remembered Noah and his family. We fast forward that we get the people of Israel are in Egypt and they're crying out to God from slavery, and we read, God remembered his people in Israel. We see God remember Abraham and Rachel. In Leviticus 26, we get this wonderful moment where God tells the people, he says, you're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to forget about me. And when you do, here's what I want you to do. I want you to cry out to me, ask for forgiveness, and when you do, I will remember my promises to you. Samson prays to God when he's standing in those pillars. He says, God, remember me so that I one last time can have strength to show that you are God. Hannah cries out to God, and we're told God remembered her, and she had a child. Then we get this phrase throughout Scripture where it says, God remembered, and we go, wait a minute, I learned in Sunday school that God is all-knowing, omniscient, the fancy word, but God is all-knowing, so how could God forget something? Because that would then mean that God doesn't know everything. And so it's not really the act of God having forgotten and then going, oh shoot, that's right, I left Noah in a boat. Oh man, I hope he's okay. That this is God turning his face towards him. That these people have all cried out, Noah in a boat, stuck with animals and his family. Abraham crying out to God in the midst of the judgment that is falling upon Sodom and Gomorrah, that the Lord remembers Abraham and spares Lot. Rachel crying out as her sister is having all of the babies and she is being left behind. The people in Egypt crying out from slavery. The people have been feeling abandoned by God as they've abandoned him. Samson, who is now blind and standing in chains, and Hannah, who also is barren and feeling the weight of that. The people are crying out from places where it feels like God has forgotten them. And we're told God remembered, not from his point of view, but from our point of view, that it feels like God has then turned his face and said, I remember you. I've seen you. I've heard you crying out. And so David, appropriately knowing all of this history of God's people and how when his people in anguish have cried out that God has remembered them, David cries out and says, God, when are you going to remember me? I know you do it. You've done it throughout your history. You've done it throughout all your interactions with your people. When will you remember me as I cry out that you are a God who remembers? We move to the next question. How long will you hide your face from me? And my hope is that all of you in the back of your heads are going, wait a minute, there's that Bible verse we say at the very end of every service. Lord, bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you, the blessing that God gave to Aaron and the people. And he said, this is what I want you to tell the people. This is what I want you to remind them that I will do for you. You as my people, I will turn my face towards you. That even in these dark valleys, even when you go through the Red Sea, even when you're fighting against all the people that are in Canaan, I will turn my face towards you. You will feel my presence. You will feel my joy. And so David takes that and he says, God, you are my God. He's claimed that already in the first verse. You are my God. I am part of your people. So will you remember me and will you turn your face towards me like you promised me? You promised that you would do this. When are you going to do it, God? And then David has a moment where he is honest with God and he says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Now David says, God, this is how alone I feel. I am the only one who is thinking about this. I don't hear your voice. I don't feel your presence. It is just me wrestling with my own thoughts. And my assumption is if most of you are like me, when you wrestle with your own thoughts and you have sorrow within your heart, they're not pleasant thoughts that you are usually wrestling with. That it seems like despair is like a magnet that just attracts everything to it, and you begin to see things and it begins to get worse and worse, and you begin to think, where is hope? That David says, I am crying out, God. I am alone and I long for your presence. And then David says, how long will my enemy triumph over me? And now we don't know when David wrote this, and so we can't cheat and say, well, David, you know, in Psalm 46 or in Psalm 23, here's how he feels about God. So let's go all the way back to when David was a boy. One of the things that we are told about when David was a boy is that when the lion and the bear attacked him, he had confidence because he knew that God would deliver him. We see that when David goes up against Goliath, that he goes to Saul and Saul says, here, David, put on my armor. And David says, I don't need your armor. I have God. God kept me safe. When the lion and the bear came at me, God protected me. He delivered me from their hands, and so I know that God will deliver me from the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. That even in that moment, David is looking back and saying, here is who God is. God is the God who keeps me safe from lions and bears. And yes, lions and bears. And I know that he will continue to keep me safe because he is a God who doesn't change. And so here, David can look back and he can even in that moment when he is facing against Goliath and he runs forward and Goliath says, am I a dog that you'd come at me with sticks? David says, I don't come at you with sticks. I come at you in the name of the Lord. He's going to destroy you. And then David takes the sword and chops his head off. That's the fun part that doesn't make it into kids, you know, the children's version of the story. But David says, I faced this man who's this giant, and I had confidence because I knew God was with me. And I know he was with me in the past, and so he will continue to be with me. And so David here says, Lord, I defeated Goliath because you were with me. The reason I defeated Goliath was because I wanted the people to know that you were God alone, that you were the one who fought for Israel, not me. This morning we referenced Exodus, and one of the beautiful moments in Exodus that you wonder what Moses thought when he was going through this, that God goes to Moses and he says, Moses, I'm going to call you to let my people go, but just a heads up, Pharaoh's not going to let them go for a while, and the reason is that I want my name to be glorified in all the earth. And so David, knowing God's history, knowing that he wants his name to be proclaimed in all the earth, says, God, if my enemies exalt themselves over me, who's going to rejoice in you? Who is going to praise you? How are you going to look greater and stronger than all the other gods if I am dead? And that's what verse 3 and 4 are saying. He says, God, I need you to help me or I am going to sleep in death. Give me light. Give me hope, God, because I am hopeless and I'm at the end of my rope. That my enemy is about to conquer me. I am about to be defeated and lay in the grave. How long, O Lord? And that's all we're told of David's prayer. That's all we're told of what David cries out. But as we've gone through it, we see that David cries out and he reminds himself. He says, God, this is who you are. I'm going to remind myself that you are a God who remembers your people even when they are in the worst of circumstances, that no pit, no valley is too deep where God cannot find you. No enemy is too great where God cannot conquer them. That you are a God who remembers your people and you are a God who delivers them. That is what you have shown time and time again throughout your history with your people. And so we see how that then changes David as we get to verse 5 and 6. That David says, but I trust in your unfailing love. The love that was with Noah, the love that was with Abraham and Rachel and the people of Israel and Egypt. That love continued, even though they abandoned you, even though they wandered in the desert because they said, we want another God. You continued to love them. That if you loved your people, even though they were stiff-necked and ran away from you as fast as they could the moment they got out of Egypt, how much will you love me as I cry out to you as your son or daughter? For those of us who are after Christ, we can look at the cross and we can see how unfailing God's love is for his people. That he went to the cross so that we could be with him. That he defeated death, the thing that is undefeated up until that point. That it was Lazarus who was raised by Jesus and then Jesus himself. That if he's able to conquer death, how small and insignificant do our enemies look to him, no matter how big and terrifying they may be to us. And so David, not looking at his enemies, not looking at the thing that is going before him, but looking up, to God says, God, I'm going to trust that you continue to love me. I'm going to trust that because you love me, you will remember me, and I'm going to trust that you will save me. How incredible for David. Like, it says his heart is rejoicing in your salvation right after he said, how long will you forget me, Lord? And he says, God, my heart is already excited about what you're going to do. I'm already ready to praise you for how you're going to respond to me. I'm already excited to raise my hand and when they say, are there any prayer requests? And say, here is how my God brought me through what I'm going through right now. That David anticipates that because God has acted this way in the past, he will continue to act this way in the future, and he holds on to that. And that's why he can say at the end, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. That how many of us hold on to the goodness of God when we're in the valleys of life? Says, God, I'm excited to praise you, for you are good to me, even though right now I feel like you have forgotten me. That David has gone through and reminded himself over and over again through this psalm that he says, God hears me, and I know he hears me because he heard his people throughout the ages. And so as we take Psalm 13 and we say, okay, well, how does this help me? Maybe for some of us, we're in verse 1. We're sitting there and we're thinking, how long? That sounds just like what I've been praying all week. How long, O Lord? And so may you use Psalm 13. That you can use Psalm 13 and you can tomorrow morning or maybe tonight or whenever you decide that you're going to pray, that you can say these exact words back to God, that you can say, dear God, how long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with whatever you are going through? How long will whatever I am going through triumph over me? Look and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will succumb. That God, you answered David, you answered your people before, that you were there with your people when they went through all the difficulties in life. That you can pray back these words to God, that God has given us the Psalms so that we have a language that we can pray back to him. And so maybe you can take this, and I wouldn't recommend ripping it out of your Bible, but you can screenshot it if you need to, or you can just keep your Bible open to it, but you can say, God, here are the words you said that I can pray back to you when I am feeling at the end of my rope. These words that say, remember me, please, Lord. Maybe you're at a point where you're not in verse 1, but you're singing to the Lord. You're at the end of this psalm, and you're singing praise, and you're saying, God has brought me through. Well, the first thing you can do is you can turn to the person who you know who's in verse 1, saying, how long, O Lord? And you can say, here is what God did. God remembered me. God showed himself once again to be a God who remembers his people, so I know he will remember you. And sometimes, and this is why we have just be present as our other challenge or reminder for this week, sometimes the people who are going through these valleys, when you're in the valley, you don't want anybody to say anything. You just want somebody to let you know that you are not alone. Sometimes the best thing you can do for somebody who is defeated and lying at the bottom of the valley, feeling overwhelmed, you can just sit and listen to them. You can bring them a casserole or vegetables, preferably not a zucchini because they probably already have way too much and that might add to their grief. But you can just bring them something and say, here. You can invite them over and say, do you want to just have tea or coffee or whatever you decide to drink when people are over? But you can just let them know that they're seen, that they're not going through this valley alone, that they don't have to wrestle with their thoughts and sorrow in their hearts by themselves. Maybe it's just a friendly wave and a hello as they're standing out after church. Maybe it's saying, how was your week, and actually meaning it. When you say, how are you doing, not just to hope they say good so you can keep walking by, but say, how are you doing? And how are you really doing? What are you going through? How can I pray for you? That do we help each other remember who God is? So it's the first thing you can do if you're in the final part. And the next thing you can do is, what are you doing to learn more about who God is? That how many of these examples throughout Scripture can you point to and say, Okay, God, you were with Noah when he was in the boat, and right now my children are driving me crazy. And you gave Noah relief. You remembered him while he was in the ark. And I know my kids probably aren't as bad as, you know, two of every, or not, it really wasn't two if you read through it, but all the animals that were there, but they're pretty close. Can you just give me relief? Can you remember me? Maybe you're at work and you're saying, God, I just need a breeze because it is hot and humid, or maybe it's cold and frigid and you're just wanting the sun to shine. You say, God, you remembered your people when they were crying out to you because they were making bricks with no straw. Can you just remember me in the next hour so that I can have something that reminds me that there's hope after today? But how many of God's stories do you know so that you can remind God, this is who you've been, and I know you say you don't change? Maybe you say, well, I know the Bible pretty well, so then what other stories, what biographies, what examples can you turn to and say, God, here is how you are with so-and-so. Here is how you are with the persecuted church. Here are how you are with the missionaries that we support. Here is how you have worked before in the past, and so I know this is how you work with your people. Please remember me. The one of the hopes that we have of our God is that when we cry out to him, no matter how far away he feels, that he is right there with us and that we can remind him of who he is. And so may we be a people who remembers our God and remembers him often and shares that with those who are suffering and remembers those who are suffering so that they know they are not going through this alone. Let us pray. Dear God, we come before you this evening, and the valleys of life can be very lonely places. That when we're in the valley, everything can feel like work, even the simplest of tasks. That we can feel alone and forgotten, and we can know in our heads what we're supposed to do, and our heart says, I don't know if that's actually true. And so I pray this evening that for those of us who are in those valleys, who are looking up trying to find just some glimmer of hope, but it seems dark and there are shadows and there is things that terrify us in our heart, that I pray that your light would break through. And you say you are a God who remembers your people. You are a God who, even when your people, even when you told your people, when you make a mistake and it's so bad that I have to kick you out of the land because you deserve my wrath, ask me to remember you and I will remember you. That you are a God who remembers your people even when you are pouring out your holy wrath upon them. And so I pray that you would remember your people who are suffering, who are feeling alone and abandoned and forgotten by you. That may you turn your face towards them. May you give them just that glimmer of hope that reminds them that they're not alone, that glimmer of hope that gives them the strength they need to make it through. And for those of us who you have brought through the valleys, I pray that we would not forget you when we get to the other side, but that we would praise you for remembering us. And then we would turn to our brothers and sisters who may be suffering, or those who we know will probably suffer because life is in a fallen world is filled with suffering, that we would turn and say, here is how God remembered me. Here is how great our God was, that when I cried out, he heard me, and here is how I know he heard me. That we would encourage each other. And I pray that your Spirit would give us the strength we need to go over to those who may be suffering and ask how they are doing. And your Spirit would give us direction to know how best can I care for my suffering brothers and sisters in Christ so that they are reminded that you love them. May we be a people who reflect you well to those around us. We love you, Lord. Amen.